Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for October the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We're also convinced the checks and balances, absolutely brilliant, put in place by the founders. That's one of the keys to the restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We stand against revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We stand for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Before we get to our guest, though, a couple of line items, and our guests can, of course, chime into this as well. You know, it's amazing how much fighting we've got going on in the world today. How much arguing about everything and fighting and melting down and attacking. And I mean, it just doesn't end. Let me give you an example. Sean Hannity says, I have to attack Glenn Beck because it's what my martial arts training teaches me to do. I mean, what on earth is he talking about? I thought martial arts was for like self-defense and stuff, to like protect and defend. And my martial arts training attacks me as one political talk show host to attack another. Has this guy lost his mind, Kurt? I mean, it's just like, what? I just don't get it. I really don't get it. Sean Hannity, I have to attack Glenn Beck because this is what my martial arts training teaches me to do. And you know, that's why I got to do it. I don't even get that. Next one, Sean Hannity responds to Megyn Kelly. Accuses her of supporting Hillary Clinton. Okay. It's just, wow. Megyn Kelly then hits back at Donald Trump, saying, hey, you're only going on Sean Hannity's show, and you're avoiding, quote, unsafe spaces. All right. I really don't even understand all that stuff. Kurt, you want to chime in on this?
By the way, Hillary doesn't do that. She doesn't avoid unsafe spaces.
Of course not.
You know, she's always going into the lion's den.
Yeah, Hillary's whatever. About to come on Liberty Roundtable Live. That's our guest coming up. I'm just kidding.
Well, I should have said the lying den is where she likes to go. But anyway, you know, that's
now, Kurt, you even wrote an article, The GOP Tumbles. This is interesting.
Well, yeah, you know, at least when you look at this article, by the way, is a Deseret News piece, Sam. And, this one I saw, and they basically say it's not a Deseret News piece, but it says it's every person for himself or herself. And the point of it is, you know, this is the way it really ought to be, at least in my opinion, without
yes
the whole
no.
party systems. Well, what I mean is you should evaluate the individual not based on what party they're in.
Yeah, you're right. But you got to finish the headline so people understand, though. What it says is the GOP tumbles towards anarchy. Mm-hmm. It's every person for himself or herself. And if you don't clarify, Kurt, people are going to think you're back in anarchy. Not true.
Well,
what Kurt's saying is we need to reject parties, and we ought to discuss the merits of one's character, and then based on one's character and where they stand on critical issues, make it an issues-oriented, character-based discussion, then I completely agree. This anarchy idea where we attack everybody and we're all islands unto ourselves has got to go, Curtis.
And
so,
and by the
what
way,
they're saying and what you're saying are two entirely different things.
Well, and I'd like to take credit for it, but this was an original Washington Post piece. Then the Alaska Dispatch News picked it up. Hot Air picked it up, you know, and so it's just being passed around or multiplied, if you will. This is piling where they do that piling on the Republicans is what's
yeah, and I reject the anarchy idea, and I reject the let's attack everybody else, Kurt. I don't know if you heard the headlines right before. Sean Hannity responding to Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Hannity says, I got to attack Glenn Beck because my martial arts training tells me to. This anarchy of everybody attacking each other and then becoming islands unto themselves, I reject. the idea that we need to judge someone on their character and on the issues of where they stand and do they align with us morally and philosophically and everything else, that's where I think we need to go, and we need to reject partisan politics that divides and destroys. That's what the Founding Fathers warned of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anyway, it looks like Cruz is making calls for Donald Trump. Cruz is staying. It's true, Kurt. He says, the comments that Donald said are horrible, but you know what? Hillary's way worse, and I have to agree. By the way, I'm not even a Trump supporter. I'm just saying Donald compared to Hillary is quite a bit better. The problem is we've got a moral cultural disaster. You know, the culture war is melting down before our very eyes, sad to say. That's why I've endorsed the Constitution Party candidates. I'm not a Trump endorser. Nevertheless, if I had to compare a Trump in a binary discussion between Trump and Hillary, wow, Trump wins hands down. He said bad things. He shouldn't have done it. It's wrong. I'm not going to defend it. But nevertheless, compared to what Hillary's done, Hillary's literally perjured herself before Congress, destroyed evidence against a court order, and more. Wow. All right, our guest, Alan Phillips, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Pleasure and honor to be here as always, Sam and Kurt.
Hey, does your martial arts training mean that you should just attack everybody? What do you think?
You know, I have some martial arts training, but I just never got that advanced into it. You know, I didn't get to that part, and I had to quit for various reasons, and not against my preferences and wishes. So he's more advanced than I am. He got to that level.
But I always thought it was about defense and protecting others and stuff like that, sir.
That's what I thought. I'm sort of with you on this one, Sam, but I find
it's crazy.
Almost everything you say. So.
Well, and the other thing is, about all this fighting, though, and stuff, you know, why do we have to fight? Why does everybody have to attack everybody and everything? Why don't we just talk about the issues? Okay, I stand for God, family, and country, and the protection of life, liberty, and property. It's pretty simple, sir.
I'd love to respond to that.
Please.
If I may take this a step deeper, I want to read a quote to you from President Kennedy back in 1961.
Okay, sure.
Because what I'm going to point out here is that Kennedy addressed an issue that I believe is what got him murdered. And since that time, nobody's been addressing that until possibly the present. So here's the quote. It's a little bit long, but listen to it, please. And it's in Kennedy's style. It's really wonderful. But the content here is fundamental to what I think is really on the table, but nobody's directly talking about it. And I think all the bickering and stuff on top of that is distraction, a way to keep us from seeing what the real issue is. So here's what Kennedy said way back in 1961. We are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. Keep in mind, you know, the time frame here, the early 60s. It's a system which has constricted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. Now, what Kennedy is pointing to here is something that people try to reach for with phrases or words like Illuminati, cabal, elite. I think the kind of bickering that goes on, I mean, Trump is a 7-year-old rich white man. There's a certain set of characteristics that are statistically probable to attach to that. I'm not excusing them. I'm just saying, you consider where he came from, post-World War II, pre-civil rights era. There's a good chance at least his upbringing is going to train him to be, to some degree or another, sexist, racist, et cetera, et cetera. This is not an excuse for any of that today if it exists. But ever since the Kennedy administration, I think what we've had in terms of the election was summed up beautifully by George Carlin, of all people, and in a way that only George Carlin can. He says, different horses, same owner. And what has played out in presidential elections since the Kennedy administration is that the whoever they really are, elite, Illuminati, cabal, whatever you want to call them. And there's not just one group there. There are some factions there that are not all in agreement with one another either, who are playing this high-level game that is behind the scenes for the most part. But basically, to get the nomination for either party, you have to have the blessing of the elite. In other words, in some respects, not literally and absolutely, but in the really important respects, it didn't matter who won over the last few decades, because either way, they were subject to or forced or voluntarily had allegiance to on any really important issues, this behind-the-scenes international bankers and whoever else is involved there.
Hold on, Alan Phillips. Quick pause. We'll come right back to the fantastic quote that nails it, to say the least. Alan Phillips, vaccinerights.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. He's an attorney at law. Maybe we'll turn him into a talk host, huh?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this quote from Kennedy right as rain about the conspiracy. I don't know, you know, a lot of times people think it's these guys in a back smoky room. Oftentimes I think it's just people in plain sight. No doubt there's a global agenda that wants to subvert everything relating to liberty. John F. Kennedy nailed it. And the point we're making is that, you know what, it just depends on which horse you want to ride. They're willing to put a bunch of horses up. They put about 20 of them up or 25 of them up, depending on how you look at it at the start, and then we kind of whittled it down. Now we feel like, man, we got our horse in the race. It's happening, and wow, have we been deceived, huh, Alan Phillips?
Well, Sam, I can't say for sure, but I think this may be the first election where we don't have two candidates of the elite. The way that, or certainly one of the ways that we are manipulating control, that the real issues are suppressed, and part of that is to create all these, at least comparatively superficial issues that we get distracted on and that cause us the infighting and keeps us from even being aware of, let alone trying to deal with the larger, deeper issues. But of course, one of the ways they do this, two ways they do this, they control the mainstream media. And at least at one layer, when you go layers behind layers and you go back, you get to international bankers, and these people have enough money to buy everything there is to buy many times over. So it's not about getting money, but they can use their money to manipulate and control many of the rest of us. And so they can buy elections. You know, they own the large corporations, and they can, you know, put their candidates up. If somebody comes into this who's self-funded, there's at least the potential that this is not one of the elite candidates. And what's going on in the mainstream news reinforces my suspicion. You just mentioned what I might summarize by saying a list of felony violations by one of the candidates that should prevent this person from ever even being considered to be a candidate, let alone continuing to be one. But we're not hearing about these felony violations in the mainstream press. And we have an FBI director who got up in front of Congress and said, yes, she lied about this, she lied about this, she lied about this, but she didn't do anything wrong, we're not going to prosecute her. I mean, this is, when you got somebody who is so blatantly above the law, where none of the rest of us would, you know, and I was just listening to the news this morning. I was flying during Sunday's debate, didn't get to see it, but heard that Trump had said something about, you know, if I had anything to say about it, you'd be in jail, or some comment to that effect. You know, that could either be the point that costs him the election, or that opens up awareness and people realize, wow, why would he say that? What has she done? But this is not being addressed in the mainstream news, and that's because the mainstream media is controlled by these elite, whoever, again, whatever you want to call them, and their candidate is Hillary. And yes, Trump has some serious problems, but I also think the guy is smart enough to realize that even if he really is a racist or a sexist, he can't act or behave that way in the Oval Office. It wouldn't be tolerated. So I'm not worried about him engaging in policies that are going to be in any obvious or seriously harmful way discriminatory against women or blacks or anybody else. What I am concerned about is that somebody who is above the law, who's being allowed to participate in a race when she ought to be being prosecuted and whatever would normally apply to anybody else who did the violations that she did should be applied to her. If she's not being prosecuted for these well-documented violations, that says something very alarming about the system that we have in place. And if that person also gets into office, who else? What else is she going to do in office in an even more powerful position that she's above the law when she shouldn't be? And who else in her administration then is going to be above the law and doing whatever they want to do? I'm very concerned about the direction this country is going to go. Now, maybe ultimately Trump is you know, some other version of, you know, another horse of the same owner. So I can't say absolutely, but I think there's at least the possibility here that he isn't. And let me, if I may, just one other quick piece. One of the prominent people in the anti-vaccine movement had a personal discussion with Trump. Trump understands and gets it that people in the CDC deliberately destroyed evidence, and there is documentary proof of this that's being held by a congressman in Florida. So this is not a conspiracy theory. The CDC destroyed data and evidence that they had that proved that vaccines cause autism. And it just happened to be that one of the people in that group actually had a conscience, and he made copies of a lot of the research that is now in the hands of a Florida U.S. congressional person, representative. And now there are some people going around the country with a documentary, a beautifully well put together documentary, put together by professional documentary filmmakers called Vaxxed. And this movie explains and describes not only this corruption by the CDC, but shows also what has been happening to real people, to real children, to real families, where these children are normal until they get their vaccines, developing many times severe cases of autism and autism-related disorders that could have been avoided if the CDC hadn't destroyed this data.
Had they not been involved in the cover-up. We'll get to the film here right after the half-hour break, too. There's a couple other things relating to this Donald Trump stuff that we want to kind of mention. You know, a lot of people want you to believe that Trump's already lost, it's already over. That's just the mainstream press in bed with Hillary. For example, they tell you all about how all the Utah people are abandoning Donald Trump, Kurt, but it's not really all true.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. The GOP, what's his name? He's the chairman, basically, of the Republican Party in Utah, is now, you know, he says he's still voting for Trump, and he believes that the other Republicans are going to do the same thing. It's kind of interesting. It's written by Lisa Roach in the Deseret News political section. It was interesting to me to see that this man happens to be a, well, as they would say, an African-American, and that's right here in Utah. So, you know, here he's got, maybe he's got it figured out, Sam.
Is his name James Evans, Kurt?
Yes.
Pretty sure.
That's right.
Yeah, he was elected chairman of the Utah Republican Party back in 2013. And by the way, the fact that he's an African-American makes no difference to us. The fact that he's right on the issues matters a lot to us.
That's exactly right.
But I thought all the African-Americans hated Donald, Kurt.
That's right. Good point.
You know, I don't understand that. Anyway, I find that fascinating. Now, I mentioned that everybody's talking about Mike Pence being at the top of the ticket. No one's articulated a way that it could literally happen. It can't really happen, folks. However, the Wall Street Journal has an article, President Pence, and then they lay out how they think it could occur, Kurt. And I think it's a long shot, to say the least.
I agree. And by the way, this is a Liberty News Daily piece, you know, libertynewsdaily.com. They say that what Trump needs to do is say that, look, I will, you know, if elected, I will resign, you know, as soon as I take the oath of office, and then you'll have Pence. That's what the Wall Street Journal suggests.
And so this idea to have Donald say, I'm going to win, but then I'm going to resign and let Pence take over, it's all foolhardy. It's not going to happen, folks. I don't see it. I don't see why they would ever do that. I don't see why Donald would ever do that after he wins. You know, personally, I think other people should run for office in the first place and have a chance to be heard, but that doesn't happen either. But don't worry, the Clinton campaign desperately wanted Donald Trump as the GOP crossbearer. I mean, standard bearer, right, Kurt?
Well, that's right. You know, and that's also a libertynewsdaily.com piece. You know, that John Podesta, I guess, you know, a big-time Hillary supporter, was hoping for Trump, and they was concerned about the possibility of her campaign alienating supporters of Bernie Sanders, etc. But the bottom line is they wanted Trump. And you said this a long time ago, Sam.
Of course I did. I think they love Trump. I think that Trump, even though he may not be one of their own horses, he's very controlled because of the dirt on him, and they've got a lot of it. And you know what? In either case, we've gone to a moral low in America, and that's the real problem. We've jettisoned our Judeo-Christian ethics. Liberty Roundtable in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
3 years ago, legendary directors George Lucas and Steven Spielberg warned that Hollywood was on a financially unsustainable trajectory. The directors, who essentially invented the summer blockbuster genre, warned that over-leveraged studios are relying too heavily on them, and that one bad summer movie season could result in a film industry implosion. This summer may well have been the one Lucas and Spielberg predicted. Even the financially successful films underperformed, and several high-budget films, such as Spielberg's latest, The BFG, bombed. As with other sectors of the economy that have succumbed after being over-leveraged, the film industry is being bailed out by China, particularly the film distribution sector. 4 years ago, Dali and Wanda Group, a Chinese company, bought AMC Entertainment Holdings and is now in the bidding to purchase its rival Carmike Cinemas. Wanda got into the film production business in January by purchasing Legendary Entertainment, and his billionaire rival, Wang Xianlin, is trying to purchase a studio of his own. Chinese retail mogul Jack Ma, regarded by some measures as the world's wealthiest man, has also started to invest in film production by way of his Alibaba Entertainment Company, which partnered with Paramount to bankroll two films this summer, including the most recent Star Trek sequel. Significantly, Ma just announced a partnership with Steven Spielberg's DreamWorks production company. Republican Congressman John Culbertson of Texas has asked the Justice Department to investigate China's Hollywood investment strategy, describing the acquisitions as a way to allow Chinese state-controlled companies a significant degree of control over the financing and content of American media. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to libertynewsdaily.com. For libertynewsdaily.com, I'm William Gregg.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Back with you live, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, Alan Phillips, Attorney at Law, VaccineRights.com, PandemicResponseProject.com, riding shotgun today. We're talking a lot about Donald Trump and the dishonesty from the mainstream press. A couple other quick tidbits, then we will move to the movie Vaxxed and cover it in great detail. The Wall Street Journal talking about President Pence saying Donald could say, "I'm going to win, then I'm going to resign and let Donald top the ticket." Not going to happen, folks. I appreciate the Wall Street Journal's dreaming, but no. Clinton campaign desperately wanted the Donald as the GOP nominee. I think that's all true. Because remember, Donald and Hillary are good friends. Donald hangs out with Bill on the golf course. Chelsea and Ivanka are good friends. Okay, now what Donald Trump used to say about Bill Clinton's victims. Kurt, quickly.
Well, good point, Sam. Yeah, he was not a friend of the whole thing. In fact, Donald Trump used to say that Bill Clinton was, at least in this Liberty News Daily piece, what Donald Trump should have said when responding to this whole thing was that he was channeling Bill Clinton. In other words, he was pretending to be Bill Clinton when he said these things. That was a pretty good response, and that was from the KOMO news radio in Seattle, where he was Hutchison. This was the former Washington State Republican Chairman Susan Hutchison said that this is what Trump should have said to us. Hey, I was channeling Bill Clinton when I said this stuff. So that would have been a good response, huh, Sam?
Yeah, I don't really know what channeling means except for...
Well, it means he was being like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, you just be like a surrogate.
Yeah,
right?
You know, I mean, I'm following our leader, you know.
Yeah, I don't channel anybody, just so you know.
Good point.
I don't get that. Well, I try to channel Jesus Christ, I guess. Channeling term. I try to be like him, I'd say. It's just kind of a weird... These people are weird. I'm telling you right now, they're just weird.
Yeah.
All right, did Trump retaliate? against Nancy O'Dell. That's the married woman that said, Donald, not going to do it.
Literally, well, I guess. They say that maybe he did, because what happened was this lady who apparently was the object of his proposition at the time when he was newly married and his new wife was already pregnant with their son, Baron. Apparently, she was the host of the Miss USA pageant. He wanted her fired a little bit later, but he said he wanted her fired because she was pregnant and he didn't think she would... that it was appropriate to have her as a, beauty pageant hostess if she was pregnant. But the NBC network officials stood by her. So anyway, I just didn't know that part of the story.
So I guess he retaliated?
Well, that's what they say, although he said it was because, she was visibly pregnant, and he didn't think it was appropriate for her to be a beauty pageant hostess. So I don't call that retaliation myself. I just think that's just what happened,
Yeah, and you got to kind of wonder, too, what the heck is this married woman trying to be pregnant and be in a beauty pageant and all whatever in the first, come on.
Yeah, be home.
Well, and the problem is you say be home, and then they'll say, see, you're an evil.
Then you're an evil dude,
Of course
you are. That's the American way, the real American way that we should have had it done.
Yeah, and it's not that women can't be in society or whatever. We're not chauvinists. We're just saying, hey, you know what? You're pregnant. You're with your husband. Last thing you need to do is be strutting in front of the Donald. That's all I can tell you is that, dude, wow. All right, anyway, enough of that. But I thought it was really worth discussing there because, the bottom line is we've really dropped to a new low in America when it comes to, look, we don't have a good person to vote for, really. That's why I've endorsed Darrell Castle and Scott Bradley. I know because of the mainstream press's manipulations and partisan politics, they don't have a chance on this green earth to even be heard, much less win. But nevertheless, I support good, honest candidates. Both of them have been married to their wives for 40 years, and they're... they've got fidelity to God, family, and country. Let's just say that. Nevertheless, if we're going to have to compare the Donald and Hillary, I'd be for the Donald big time, even with all of his mistakes. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Alan Phillips is with us, and he went to a showing of the film Vaxxed. Incredible film, Alan Phillips, and you even got the opportunity to join producers Victory, I don't know how to say his name, and... Polly, and it's Polly Tommy, or T-O-M-M-E-Y, Polly Tommy is her name, right?
I believe so. This was really, really wonderful. I had the great honor a few weeks ago of interviewing Del Bigtree on my own weekly radio show, and that was just fabulous. But I had never met any of these people in person, and I have met Andrew Wakefield at conferences in the past briefly, rubbed elbows with him, but got to meet these people and talk with them. They even dragged me in the van at one point to interview me and videotape me on some questions, which was just such an honor.
Of course they did, because there's an incredible symbiotic relationship that needs to happen there, sir.
Well, there is a combination of people doing fabulous work, and it's all of us together, whatever each of us is doing individually. However insignificant we might feel what we as individuals are doing, it's a contribution if you're doing anything at all. And it's really going to take all of us together to shift the paradigm. But I tell you, the movie Vaxxed does something that none of the other videos I've ever been aware of do, and whether it was accidental or deliberate on their part with respect to why I personally think it was genius, I do nevertheless think it was genius. What they have done, as opposed to trying to summarize the whole vaccine issue and throw as much information as you can so that you just can't possibly deny it, look at all the information here, it's overwhelming. What happens with people who are steeped in a pro-vaccine view when you hit them with overwhelming information is they shut down and they literally can't see it. The movie Vaxxed...
What they usually say is this: I know what you're saying, Sam, but I've done my own research and I believe what I believe. That's what they do, right?
Well, they haven't done the research. That's the problem.
I know, but they claim they have, though.
Well, the research in that sense means I trust the authorities. It's really boils
That's
down
right.
to that. I don't need to go look at it for myself because the authorities couldn't be wrong. And that's sort of the fundamental switch that needs to flip for people to realize what's really going on. And so the beauty of Vax is that it doesn't try to present the vaccine controversy. It tries to present this one event, which was the story, you know, covers a period of years, but it all boils down to the fact that officials at the CDC got together deliberately, purposely, intentionally destroyed data. They literally threw it in the trash can because after trying several different ways to massage the numbers to hide what they found in the research, they realized they just couldn't hide it.
In other words, the evidence, the research that was so clear, so overwhelmingly against hostile injection of foreign substances into the human body that they simply couldn't manipulate the numbers. It was so painstakingly obvious they had to flat out bury it. Is that what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying. And they spent a period of time, a period of years, changing the data, framing it different ways, leaving some of it out, and they just couldn't make the problem go away. Now, the fact that they would have done any of that in the first place is truly disgusting, because the supposed purpose of the people doing this is to analytically, neutrally, no emotional attachment one way or the other. You do the research and then you report what you find and you publish it. And then the policymakers do whatever they do with that. But you're the scientists who are simply supposed to neutrally present the information.
And you're going to find yourself smack dab in the middle of a hostile eugenics racist movement, sir, pretty soon.
Well, let me just spell this out in real simple terms, Sam, because what the data showed is that vaccines do cause autism. Now, they looked at just one piece of that question, and what they were looking at is there a difference in autism rates based on what time you get the vaccines, what point in your life, before age 3 or after age 3? And what they found was that in certain populations, there was literally a 7-fold increase risk of autism, that if you got the shot before you were 3, in this case they were looking at the MMR, there have been other shots that kids have gotten after which they developed autism, but they're looking at one vaccine, the triple valent, the MMR vaccine, and just the timing of it, if you get it before 3 or after 3. And they found, in some groups, a 7-fold increase. And then this begs many questions, but one of the immediate questions is, well, what if they looked at vaxxed and unvaxxed kids? What would they see? Because they didn't look at that in this data. All they looked at was the timing of the shot. And Dr. Andrew Wakefield.
And by the way, the fly in that ointment is assuming that, you know what, vaccines are okay. It's just a matter of when they're not quite as bad, as opposed to looking at the whole reality of what if you don't take them. But anyway, continue.
But the problem here is a real interesting one. You know, I used to co-host a radio show with a gentleman who was both a medical doctor and an attorney, and I loved the fact that he also had the law training and license, because I could talk shop with him and he would understand me.
Amen. Hold on. We got a quick pause. Come right back. Okay. Alan Phillips, VaccineRights.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the movie Vaxxed. Incredible movie. Alan went to a Q&A after with the producers, and more details in seconds on your radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Our country is at a crossroads. Election day is looming, and the choice between the two candidates couldn't be more clear. Do you want a strong leader who will secure our borders and stop the flow of illegal aliens and radical Islamic terrorists? Do you want a proven businessman who will implement smart trade deals that will bring jobs back to our country? Do you want a man's man who will protect our God-given Second Amendment rights from an oppressive federal government? Do you want a sensible White House that will work with traditionalist heads of state who should be our natural allies? Do you want a president who will safeguard the interests of Christians? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then there's only one choice for you: Donald Trump for president. Make no mistake about it, America will not survive a Supreme Court stacked with radical extremists handpicked by Hillary Clinton. Do the right thing. On November 8th, vote Trump.
This ad is paid for by William Johnson, a farmer and a deplorable, through the American National Super PAC, and is not authorized by Donald Trump or his committee.
North Florida, North America, and YouTube Babylon, are you tired of the direction America is headed?
Yeah!
Are you fed up with all the lies and corruption in government?
Yeah!
Are you tired of the persecution of Christians and other forms of patriots?
Yeah!
Do you want to get involved in the restoration of the Republic but are unsure where to start?
Oh, yeah!
The answers to these questions and more can be found with me, your host, Kevin Blake, Saturday nights, 10 to midnight Central Time, on Liberty News Radio, for the Restore the Republic show, where I will give you all the information needed to restore the Republic. So, Babylon, grab a chair, drink of choice, and get ready to laugh, or cry, or both. Until then, get comfortably disturbed at the RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. That is RestoreTheRepublicShow.com. See you on Saturdays, Babylon.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Alan Phillips, attorney at law, riding shotgun on the broadcast today. We're talking about the Vaxxed film. Alan went to a showing of it. He got the opportunity to hang out with the joint producers, Del Victory and Polly Tommy. And they had a Q&A. And now he's spending more time with them. And I guess you're going tonight to another one, huh?
Going down to South Carolina.
All right. Well, that's fantastic news.
Going there.
And you were mentioning that you love co-hosting with a friend of yours that was an attorney and a physician, right?
Yeah, this was fabulous because a lot of physicians make assumptions about legal rights and how the law works and frankly get it wrong. And so this was really refreshing because here's a gentleman who studied law and understands all that. But I asked this fellow, Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, who sadly passed away abruptly in December of 2014. But I asked him at one point, what is it with these pro-vaccine people? Why is it that they don't just give a little bit of ground and just, you know, hold their ground there? Because when they do this all or nothing thing, vaccines cause absolutely no harm, you know, end of story. They really set themselves up for a big fall when people realize, but wait, they do. And his response was simple, but I thought just really wise and insightful. And he says, Alan, if they open the door crack, the floodwaters are going to burst it wide open. So this is what, again, the beauty of the movie Vax. A lot of people can hear an isolated instance where they could not hear the whole controversy all at once, because it's just too much. The implications, Sam, if the anti-vaxxers are correct, most medical doctors don't know what they're doing, at least on this issue. At least the leaders in state and federal health agencies are lying to us and know that, and at least the executives in the pharmaceutical industry are knowingly profiting from the avoidable and unnecessary death of innocent newborns, toddlers, children, and increasingly now adults, as flu vaccines are being pushed on adults in particular, healthcare workers, and so forth. So it's a huge issue. It's a very dark and ugly picture, and many people, understandably, can't take that in all at once. So the movie Vaxxed, as from my point of view, and its brilliance is that it's looking to make a crack, to crack the door open, so to speak, into the room. And then people can only go into that room or open their own door at whatever speed they can handle it psychologically, because it's an enormous issue with enormous implications.
Well, and that's kind of the takeaway here is that, ladies and gentlemen, we've wondered for a long time how intentional they were, knowing that, you know what, vaccines cause autism. And at first we're like, you know what, maybe they don't really realize, maybe that, you know, there's different conflicting studies, we're not really sure. Now we literally have pay dirt that not only did they know, not only are they lying, but the cover-up is beyond imagination. And that's really kind of the takeaway here is this is intentional, whether it's for filthy lucre or whether it's to control the population in a eugenics plan, time will tell. But the fact that they covered it up, that they knew full well, and they went to painstaking, obvious lengths to accomplish that really tells you a story. And it's not conspiracy theory anymore. It's literal fact based on documentation and evidence, right?
We have a congressman in Florida, Bill Posey, who has the documents. And somebody asked him at one point after he had initially gotten these many, many thousands of pages of documents if he had the smoking gun. And I don't remember the exact wording of the response, but it was something to the effect of, no, we don't have a smoking gun. We have a conflagration here. You know, conflagration is a word that means enormous fire, like a forest fire or a whole city on fire. You know, it's like not the smoking gun. We have massive flames here. That was the response, you know, to the smoking gun question. So Bill Posey now for 2 years has been saying, Congress, do an investigation, and they're not touching it. And that speaks volumes, too. It's the same thing we're hearing when, you know, here's the evidence. We have it on videotape. I've seen this. You can go on YouTube and look at it. Hillary is saying completely different things to different people. The FBI director is admitting to Congress that she lied on this point.
And hold on. They're also admitting that they helped her cover up and helped her manipulate the truth. They literally gave immunity to people, saying at first, well, we had to get their laptops. Otherwise, it would be a litigation. Now they're saying, well, we even agreed not only to get the laptops, but to destroy all the evidence on the laptops. Absolute collusion proved going on.
So what we have here, Sam, is massive corruption on a major scale at the highest levels. It is now there in plain sight for anybody who can see and wants to see or is able or willing to see. It's no longer conspiracy theory, none of this stuff. And yet, somehow, they're still hanging on, I hope, by just a thread. But nevertheless, they're still hanging on to this illusion that everything is okay. And what really bothers me about the mainstream representing Hillary now is having the edge and Donald is losing and so forth. This is just, who knows what really is going on? This is just an image. But there have been people, programmers for the voting machines, who have gone public and said, you know what, it is possible to program these things so that the election win is determined in advance, and the programs can be designed so that they destroy themselves, so there's no evidence in the program later that it was rigged. And, you know, I hate to sound, and this is conspiracy theory, I suppose, at this point. That phrase is not a bad word to me, by the way. But conspiracy meaning that, you know, if there's a system to predetermine the outcome of the election that destroys the evidence, it's going to be really hard to show this. If you don't have physical ballots that you can go back later and count, how do you decide if something was rigged or not? And so this is, you know, this is all very disturbing. But if the mainstream media is portraying this as, oh, it's now going in Hillary's favor, oh, yeah, she's probably going to win, and then she does win, we don't really know if it's all electronic what the voting really was, because there's no way objectively, physically to go back and check it. And that is, regardless of whether it's rigged or not, the fact that you can't go back and confirm it with physical ballots is very disturbing.
Well, here's what we do know. The motive for putting a system in place that we can't verify the truth is trouble enough to say we got a problem. In other words, I don't care if it's intentional or not, manipulated or not, cheated or not, even if it's on the up and up, putting ourselves in a system that can have that potential without us being able to document or verify reality and or the truth is reason enough to jettison that system in the first place.
You know, there's a very, really interesting parallel what goes on in the legal world, Sam. If a judge has any connection with, say, a party in a case that he's ruling on, if he's, you know, second cousin to one of the parties, or maybe even just super good friends with one of the attorneys or something, although I'm not sure where the line would go there. But there are situations where even if there is only the appearance of a potential bias, that doesn't
or
have
conflict
to actually,
of interest.
Right, but there doesn't have to actually be bias demonstrated. There has to be only the appearance of bias. Then the judge is obligated to recuse him or herself, meaning they have to take themselves off the case and get another judge in so that there is not the appearance of bias. I ran into that myself personally when I was a client in a case in Central North Carolina. Because I was an attorney and the other party wasn't an attorney, there was the appearance of bias. And the way they dealt with that in the case in that district is they had to bring in a judge from another district. So it wasn't a judge that I, you know, being an attorney would personally know or work with on a regular basis or whatever, which could potentially predispose a judge to rule, you know, in the attorney's favor. I don't think there was any risk of that in my particular case, but there was the appearance of it. And so when the other side raised that question, they...
And that all applies except for when it comes to the Clintons.
Well, and this is the point, Sam. When you've got somebody who functions above the law, outside of the system, you know, you don't have to go any further to what I was saying earlier, where I think this is the candidate, the one candidate, as opposed to both candidates in past elections, the one candidate who's the pick of the cabal. And for that reason alone, I don't want this person in there. But you don't even have to get into that level here. You just look at a much more superficial level. Here's a person who has violated laws, not being prosecuted, is being allowed to run anyway. And if somebody has that kind of clout or whatever you want to call it, and they get into to office, what else are they going to do, and what is their administration going to do, and is the whole system going to just become more and more above the law and unreachable, and they can do whatever they want, and we can't do anything about it?
That Bill Clinton's planning to have teas with everybody's wife while Hillary's at work.
Well, there's a long list, you know, there's some real interesting stories around the Clintons, and I've only looked at a little bit of it. There's a long list of convenient deaths going back for many years surrounding the Clintons, and a very recent one within the Clinton, the folks there that, you know, working with her in the campaign, and somebody who reportedly was going to go public with some corruption going on with inside that system conveniently ended up dead, a young person in good health. Is it possible that it really was just a fluke of fate? Of course, you know, but we may never know. It may be that, you know, when somebody becomes...
Well, and the problem is no one's even really seriously looking into it either.
Right, and that fact, you know, even if it's like you're saying, it's not even necessarily what the literal ultimate reality is. It's the fact that it's not being handled properly from in the first place. And that, of course, lends support to at least the concern that maybe what's going on is not on the up and up. And if in reality it ultimately isn't, then, of course, there are huge problems here. But, you know, Congress can refuse to investigate this vaccine issue with the CDC, as they have been doing. It's another too-big-to-fail story, I suppose.
Well, they have to admit, then, that their compensation fund was all bogus, too. That's a part of the evidence against them that they'll be forced to admit to and abolish the fund and deal with reality and hold companies accountable for their actions. And that's a whole unwinding they're not willing to do, and that's only part, a teeny part, by the way, of the massive corruption at all levels of government. Tragically true.
That's it. If you open up the door, then the floodgates will follow.
Alan, my friend, thank you so much.
Blessings.
Alan Phillips, ladies and gentlemen, attorney at law, vaccinerights.com, pandemicresponseproject.com, well-known attorney to help you understand your rights. He went to the film Vaxxed and now is working with the producers. Fantastic news, in my opinion, when bright minds get together to stand for the sacred cause of liberty. It's always a wonderful thing. At LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com are our websites. This nation shall endure.